In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking today with my sister-in-law, Lovelace Howard. Her name is spelled L-O-V-E-L-A-C-E. That's her first name, but we pronounce it Lovelace usually. Some of you have heard Lovelace talk before, and I'm just delighted to have you back again, Love.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You have two children, don't you, Love? How old are they?
Gallaudet is 23 and a half, and Charles just turned 21.
Well, my favorite people are my brother Tom and my sister-in-law Lovelace, and Lars and I always enjoy talking with them. We spend a lot of time talking about children and rearing children, so I'm delighted to have you back to talk this time on the subject not about how to train and teach our children, but what?
Particularly the life we live with our children, which I guess is the same thing as being an example for our children.
Do you have some scriptural backing for that idea?
I think I do. In Romans chapter 9, Paul lists the advantages that the Israelites had in being God's children, and he doesn't mention just the tabernacle and the worship or just the law that he gave them, but he talks about the patriarchs. One of the main advantages the Israelites had was the stories of the patriarchs, the example of those real live people that they could look at and watch God work in. And I think that's the meaning of example. I hesitate to use the word example because it's frightening, but I think that's what the Bible means by example.
Why is it frightening?
Because I think that most parents, as well as everyone else, thinks if I'm an example for someone, that means I have to do it perfectly. I have to get it just right. I have to show them something to copy just right. And most of us are smart enough to know we can't quite handle that.
Do you get the impression that young people today have heroes or anybody like the patriarchs that they look to for models?
I've picked up from you that there's a lack of that, but not moving around out there among people as much as you do, I couldn't say. My own children look very close at hand for their examples. I know that you are to my daughter one of the main examples of her life. She sort of takes you and me and checks us both out, and if she comes up with something that's the same, she's pretty sure that's right.
Hmm.
So she sticks close to home.
Kind of awesome, isn't it? How much do you think children notice about the way their parents do things or whoever the examples in their lives are? Do you think they're looking for models?
I think they notice everything. I think a little children and then particularly school-age children notice everything. And that's been one of the main challenges to me as a mother. I do have articulate children who will tell me what they're thinking and ask, why do you do that? Or I don't understand this. Paul has a wonderful phrase about Timothy observing his life and his teaching and his actions. And I think he's simply bringing over into Christian experience what happens in all of our homes. We may talk to our children about God, but they are watching and listening to everything that goes on in our households and learning much more from that.
Yes, it strikes me as rather sad, I guess I would say, that so many parents sort of come alive and realize that they jolly well better shape up when they get children, that they do things differently than they did before. But some will send their children to church because they think it's good for the children. But if the children are noticing what the parents do, is that going to do a whole lot of good?
I would question the lasting value unless they run into a Sunday school teacher or a club leader or someone who really catches their heart and to whom they are attracted and whose example makes a lasting impression. I had wonderful old lady Sunday school teachers, the typical spinster of my childhood, but they loved God and they loved the scripture, and that was a lasting example for me. But surely what the parents do is the most basic curriculum of the children's life. I'm sure of that.
Well, let's talk about these Old Testament patriarchs.
My favorite one, because there's so much in the New Testament about him, is Abraham. Paul talks about Abraham, and the writer of Hebrews talks about Abraham. And Paul talks about Abraham as having this strong faith that most of us would never think that we could ever imitate. But at the same time, he talks about, in Romans 4, about Abraham growing strong in faith as he trusted in God. And I love to go back and look at those stories of Abraham in the Old Testament, where rather than looking like this perfected giant of faith, he looks like a very real and weak and sometimes confused man who made mistakes, certainly in his arrangements for Sarah from time to time with the heathen. He got it all wrong, and God had to come in and rescue him. And right in those stories, when you get back in the Old Testament, you find this wonderful statement about Abraham that he believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. But in the very story, he's questioning God. How do I know that you're going to give me an heir? How do I know that you're going to give me a land? He asks his questions and he cries out his despair. He loved Ishmael. He was unhappy that God said no about Ishmael. And he said, oh, that Ishmael might live with you. Wrapped up in these stories of Abraham's faith and Abraham's obedience, as James brings out in the New Testament, are Abraham's heartfelt cries to God about how hard it was. So that I see Abraham as a very real man who experienced God's faithfulness and who shows us how a person learns to trust God. And I guess my main conviction along this line is that what our children need from us, an example, is to watch a grown-up Christian who's learning to trust God, not a finished product.
And if your children ask you the question, the sort of question that children do ask, Mommy, what does faith mean? Would you point to an Old Testament example as an illustration?
I would if they gave me time. Mm-hmm. So often their questions want a three-word answer.
Mm-hmm. So give us a three-word answer on that one.
Well, I'm not good at that. I'm a long-winded mother. My children are always reining me in on that. But I would try at their six-year-old level or with a young teenager. I would try to say, but don't forget about Abraham. He didn't get it right the first time, but he kept on listening to God and asking his questions to God and moving forward with God in the way that God was leading him. And I think that's trust, and that's how it learns. I'm always trying to encourage my children that they are learning to trust, that they are learning to obey, because they tend to look only at their failures.
But I still want a definition of faith, though. If I'm a child, I want you to say, well, what does faith mean?
Well, I would, as I do for a grown-up, move from the word, the noun, faith, which has a little static sound to me, to the verb version of trust. I like the word trust. Faith sounds a little bit intellectual to me. That's just my own feeling, but trust sounds like it involves a relationship. So I would pull my children back to trusting God, just like they learn to trust me.
And of course, they would question you, too. And
that's right.
You've just said that Abraham is, shall we say, allowed to question God. We don't consider that a proof that he was not a man of faith.
Exactly.
In fact, it's quite the opposite, wouldn't you say?
Yes. If he trusts God with his question, he believes that God is there, as Hebrews says, he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Perhaps that should be our direction for explaining trust to children.
I like what George MacDonald said. He said, "The man that feareth Lord to doubt, in that fear doubteth thee."
That's wonderful.
About a half a minute left. Is there anything else that you would like to say in this 30 seconds?
Perhaps to offer Moses as another example of a man who was always asking God questions, not to mention complaining. And God took it.
Thank you so much. This is my sister-in-law, Loveless Howard, talking with us today on the subject of living with our children. And I hope that you're going to find this very helpful. Those of you who are worried about whether or not your children are seeing the right kind of an example in their lives, what do they see? We're going to be talking about all of these things.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.